not that I don't want you here.
Yeah.
It's something about the way you stare into my eyes.
Woo.
I know that I don't make things clear.
Wow. We're recording again, y'all. It's been forever. Ish. We still have a podcast.
We do. It still exists. Okay.
We still have a podcast.
The Fresh Air podcast does indeed still exist.
I just want to let y'all know that, I mean, honestly, life just been punching.
Happening.
Life just been punching and punching, and you just get up, and it's another punch, and then you get up, and we still have a
slap.
Podcast. Y'all, this time they start kicking you like, hey,
no,
they're jumping me.
Beating your ass.
But it's okay.
We're getting at that age. We're just like, damn.
We're back. And we're so happy to be back. This episode is going to get real deep, I think.
Emotional.
Shout out to Snow Allegra.
Hey, what's up?
Those feels again. That's how I picture she said it. Those feels again.
Yeah, she was probably like, ugh.
I'm just saying it like, ugh. But I'm like, crackhead, so that's just me.
I'm weak. But yeah.
So, of course, have to ask you, Ish, what's your temp this week?
Whew.
What's your temp this week?
Whew. My temp is Summer Walker.
Mm-hmm. My
and
love.
Your love, but also in her whole social anxiety. Like, I get it.
No, don't do it.
I get it.
Don't you do
it. I understand.
Freaking do it.
But, like, it gets to a certain point where it's like, okay, if you gonna go with the I got social anxiety thing, why didn't you cancel the entire tour?
Because sis still has to make coins. A lot of you are forgetting that she's still signed to a label and she's still obligated when you sign contracts. And like, I know some of you SoundCloud rappers out there don't get it because you ain't never been
put
signed.
Put some respect on their name.
But if you are signed to a record label and you make an album, you are obligated to go on tour. I promise you, if sis wanted to cancel all of them, she would have. But she literally cannot.
I mean, I'm not going to cap, like, I don't relate to her, because I definitely do relate to having a great deal of anxiety about a lot of things.
I will say her picture at the Soul
at the Grammys.
Awards. No, it was the Soul Train Awards.
Oh, yeah.
She was wrong for that. She could at least put a
she
hand on
like,
the hip.
She was like,
yes, sir. But, I mean, I just feel like a lot of people who are talking about her can't even do their presentation in class. You got 2 minutes presentations, can't do it.
Oh, put some respect on people's names.
Okay, but
I know you're not coming for me.
I wasn't, but if the shoe fits, I mean.
Oh, wow.
Nah, but for real, social anxiety, like, I'm just tired of people keep telling her what that looks like for her. Like, if she says she got social anxiety and she does not want to perform in front of 20,000 people night in and night out, that's valid as fuck. But we can't sit here and be mad because we're so used to people, like, chasing after fame that when they get it, like, they just cut up. We ain't never seen nobody who don't want that shit. Just the money. Just the money, baby. But
I feel like in order to make money in the end, like, she still will have to.
She definitely gonna have to figure it out.
Ari Lennox said something to her. She was like, don't quit, Summer. Like, in their interview, Ari was like, don't quit. She was like, because I was where you were. Mm-hmm. And, like, look at us.
But
like, don't
Ari's
quit.
A crackhead. I don't think Summer has that energy.
But Ari did, like, talk deeply about her. Like, I go down these rabbit holes of interview watching on YouTube. And I was watching a video of Ari Lennox and her just talking about, like, the pre-fame Ari Lennox kind of thing. Yeah. And it's interesting to hear, like, when artists go through, like, similar things as you, especially, like, with emotions and stuff, because then it makes their music feel more real for you.
Yeah, because you don't think they're real people. Like, it's like when you had a concert. Speaking of concerts, no shade, Summer. But when you're at a concert and you realize that the person that you're listening to on your way to work or on your walks are real people.
Yeah, they're human. They experience.
You. I can't afford to, but I could.
Yeah, if I wanted to get thrown in jail, I could.
I could touch you.
Right? And that's crazy. I really do mess with Ari Lennox. I do mess with her.
I love her so much.
But also.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, what should tempt you?
Well, honestly, y'all, a couple episodes ago, we talked about Mr. Trump being my damn president.
And impeachment.
But now he's out there actually doing the hearings, and it's just a whole joke. Trump just say he don't know nobody. I ain't never seen you in my life.
Sorry to this man.
Sorry to this man. I've never seen you. And it's just really funny to me how we've waited until this man is about to be vindicated from this shit to really hold him accountable. And I don't think it's going to end here. I feel like a lot of people are starting to wake up. Like, we already knew he was shitty, but a lot of people are starting to wake up for real, for real. And I'm just excited, man. Honestly, I haven't been as engaged in politics as I usually am. Like I said, life's been fucking me up. But when I do get to see, I'm just like, this is a whole motherfucking joke. Like, these people are really sitting here like, so what do you mean? What would you consider close? Like, yeah, I've seen him.
No, that was their way of, like, not getting themselves trapped into, like, I mean, I woke up during that part. Not saying I was asleep when Julia was downstairs watching it, and I, like, woke up, and that was just their way of, like, trying to go around the lawyer kind of thing.
Yeah, trying to be smart, but it's just, that's my temp.
That's your
my
tip?
My temp is just what the hell is going on with our government. We never know.
What's going on?
We never have known.
No.
But really, what is going on now?
I'm weak, but... You know, we're back. We're here after a while, but it's okay because we were very upfront about being in college, being young, and I mean,
And honestly, with creatives and content and stuff like that nature, like, some people are really good at pushing out consistent content, and that's dope, but then other people are, like, not so, I mean, pushing out content is not to say it's the hardest thing in the world, but if you really are trying to put out quality content, it does take some time to sit and think, and we've definitely been sitting and thinking on hella ideas. We got some good ideas coming up, some good fun things coming up, so don't think we just forgot about the podcast and just like
F-F. we definitely didn't. It did give you guys a lot of time to catch up on the sets,
on the episodes, dude.
So yeah, but like we said, today we're talking about relationships with emotion, right? And we're gonna be those feels again, right? Or those emotions again. And we want to just start, let's, you know, breathe in, breathe out, and let's talk about it. But before we get into it, right, I just want to shout out to, like, our last episode. And we were talking about, like, different types of workers because a lot of people kiki'd about our episode. Like, they were like, yo, I'm such a lazy Larry. I'm a da-da-da-da-da. And we basically asked y'all on the TL, like, what kind of worker do you think you are and why, right? And some people, like our friend Cammy Michelle _, she said that she was a mix of lazy Larry and early Erica.
Right.
You know?
I resonate with that hard.
Like, she was a mix of the both.
I ain't gonna sleep on a job.
But I thought a lot of people said that they were like lazy Larry or early Erica. Sydney brought up at Sydney Stevens _, at Sid_Stevens said that I'm more of a bare minimum Bella. So she created her own, right? So I'm not going to be late, but I'm not going to break my back for this job.
And that is me. And honestly, when I saw her post that, I resonated so hard because I try to explain this to Aisha every time. And even in that episode, I said the same thing. You will never see me doing splits, herkies, jumps for a corporation. Now, if the corporation is someone that's employing me six-figure type T's, we have a different discussion. You talking about bare minimum, bare wage. You're talking about maybe $8 an hour.
$8? We're in college, still making
$8? $8.25. And you will not see me busting no.
Now, nothing. If I was only making $8.25, no.
But honestly,
no.
Honestly, if you're not making more than 15, you're really.
I mean, but like,
you're really.
I feel like there's pros and cons with jobs. I mean, I'm not saying that
go ahead.
It's wrong to be a bare minimum Bella.
Cause it ain't.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. You know what I do best.
You stay talking to that damn devil.
What I do best, paying devil's advocates. But yeah, let's get into it, man. Topic: relationship with emotions. Right. So those emotions again. Those emotions again. But yeah, so like the first thing we really wanted to talk about was, I don't know if y'all have noticed, but God knows, I've noticed it went from being 80 degrees to 32 degrees. Like, how does that happen? Right. And I get that, you know, season change. I understand that. But like, it has really affected people.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, when the sun starts setting at 4.
Yo.
You can't help but get a little depressed. Like, when I tell no nigga I'm sad. Oh, you're sad. That's no nigga sad. Seasonal affective disorder. I'm depressed. Like, I actually have sad. Like, I am sad. Sad is me. And I feel like seasonal depression is so, like, brushed off. You're like, oh, that's why you're sad. But do you actually think about the implications that come with that? Like, you're going into major holidays like Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and you're depressed as hell. And it's just...
Yo, I didn't really know what sad was until one of my coworkers, like, broke it down to me. And she was like, yeah, I go through that shit, like, hardcore. And I was like, and sometimes it's like, yes, I feel like I experience a small bit of it. Because, yes, I wake up at 3 p.m. when I don't have class and shit. And then I look outside.
It's cold.
It's cold. And then, I'm, you know, I get up thinking I'm going to be productive. Next thing you know, it's 5 o'clock and it's pitch black outside. And I'm confused. Right? And so it makes me like, well, no, well, damn, I wasn't productive. Or I couldn't get anything done. And then I feel like a failure. And then I spiral into this just sadness.
Sad. You're literally sad.
But yeah, and that's real, you know? And then, like, being around people who are also being affected in different ways by that, because I feel like there are some people around us who, like, don't necessarily notice that they're being affected by it, but they are moving a little different. They're feeling it a little different, you know? And you're noticing it. But this is also the time where, like, classes, like, your test is, like, accumulation of everything you've been doing the semester.
Yeah, the semester. So, like, you, turning up on you.
Yeah, you're supposed to be going hard, going in the paint, but... You're struggling.
I don't know how to paint.
You're struggling.
I cannot open the can of paint.
You're struggling.
Go hard in it.
Right? And, yeah, so, like, with that, though, as, like, a friend, how do you then help your friends if y'all are all experiencing different versions of this sadness and of these different depressive, like, episodes, and you don't even necessarily know that's what it is?
Right.
Right? Like, how do you, as a good friend, check up on them, right, and make sure they're okay and... And still look into yourself and make sure you're okay, right?
I think a part of it is actually allowing them to feel their emotions. Because sometimes it's like, yeah, your brain is lying to you. And other times that's really what you're going through. You have to be able to sit in that. And I think as friends, we oftentimes want to counter that, you know, and we're just like, you're an amazing, beautiful star and all of this is fake. And it's like, sometimes that is not needed in making sure your friend is good. Sometimes you have to be there and be like, yeah, this shit do suck. And I'm so sorry that you're going through it, but we're here together. Instead of a like...
But do they always want to hear that?
No.
Do they always want to hear that?
As a good friend, you don't tell your friend what they want to hear all the time, because then you're actually a shitty friend because you're lying to them. Yeah. And if you're lying to
but
your
I
friend...
But I feel like sometimes, is it necessary to be like...
Sometimes you don't... Just because... Okay, for me, you know, it's never what you say but how you say it. So no, don't go up to your friend if they're depressed and be like, get your bitch ass up. Like, hell, don't do that. Do not do that. But don't also go up to them and just like... sugarcoat the fact that life is truly happening here. So say if you just freaking failed your test, that is going to land you into medical school. I'm going to be real with you about it. I'm gonna like, this shit does suck. Your life may feel like it's ending at this moment, but I'm here to tell you, like, we're gonna get through it. It's gonna be cool. Stress it, because that's normal. But I'm not gonna become butterflies and lilies, like, I'm so sorry that happened to you. You're a bright star. Like, cause at the
but
end
is
of
that
day,
wrong? Like, for the friends that do talk like that and that do see that as support, right? Is that wrong then for
it's
them?
It's not wrong, because sometimes you do need a mix of that in your friendship. Sometimes that is healthy, and other times it's not healthy, because that makes that person feel bad for feeling how they feel. You know what I'm saying? That makes that person feel like, well, damn, if my friend can see the positive, why can't I? Boom. You're sad again for not being able to pull. You get what I'm saying? It just, it's actually doing the opposite. Whereas if someone validates your concerns and validates your feelings and like, okay, this is what it is and it sucks, but here's some boom, boom, booms to where we can keep moving forward versus it's not that bad. You'll get over it. No solution. So now you're like, damn, what is tea? So that's my whole thing. And I'm the friend that's usually like butterflies and lilies, but I've kind of gotten out of that because I've realized that not everybody takes butterflies and lilies as a positive interjection rather than a, it can get accusatory in a way, because it's like, why can't you ever be happy? Why are you always sad? Let me be the butterflies and lilies in your life. And they don't need that all the time. That's just me though. You know, we give life advice and be like, well, that's just me though. I don't know what I mean.
I'm weak. But yeah, I get that. I get that. Once again, I'm just here to play devil's advocate. Probably. I'm here to counter the things that people will listen and counter and okay, be like, yeah. I disagree with that. And then, okay, let's unpack that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, where's that disagree or that disconnect happening? But I think a key part of like what you said was like allowing your friend to experience those emotions, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And feeling those feelings.
Right.
And I'm like queen of people will rant to me or talk to me. Like my younger sister will come to me and be like, Ishii, blase, blase, blase.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad. And I'm like, okay, you're angry. You're frustrated, right? You've located what made you frustrated,
mm-hmm.
right? But you don't want to feel these emotions. You're becoming sad that you're mad, but you need to be like, okay, I'm mad. Yeah. I'm pissed. Yeah. I'm angry.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. Like, why am I angry?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I feeling these feelings of anger, right? And I feel like, I always say it like sitting in your emotions. You have to be able to sit in your emotions.
Right.
Understand your emotions and feel those emotions. Right? Because if you can't really feel those emotions, then you won't really understand them, and then it's just gonna keep happening.
Yeah, it's gonna be a cycle.
A cycle of you being sad, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like understanding, why am I sad? What are some things that, even if you...
Because there's like associated with negative.
Yeah.
Being sad is such a negative. Being mad is a negative. Those are negative emotions, but because you're feeling them is not a negative thing.
Because those emotions are inevitable,
mm-hmm.
right?
They're
human nature. Like feeling those emotions are inevitable, but you have to actually feel them and understand, oh my gosh, I'm feeling this way. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then how am I going to make it so that this thing doesn't necessarily make me this mad
mm-hmm.
to where I'm angry that I'm mad,
mm-hmm.
right? Because then you can start being resentful to yourself in a way,
right?
Because it's exactly. like, why are you mad about this consistently?
And now you're mad that you're mad.
And now you, exactly.
And now you're like a clown.
Same thing with sadness and with being, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I feel like a failure. And I've recently had to deal with this
mm-hmm.
because I'm in school and it's like, I don't care how hard I try in this English class,
mm-hmm.
this teacher keeps giving me a 75,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's like, okay, what are some things I can do, right, to try and bring my grade up or try harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
I keep trying harder. Sis keeps throwing me a 75. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done being mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that it made me angry.
Yeah.
And just unpacking, why did it make me angry? Feeling the emotion, feeling, okay, I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
Now we finna put our all into this next paper. Boom, 75. But it's
Damn.
Cool. But it's cool. Because I'm gonna keep going. Because a 75 is still a C. And I can say that I gave my all
right.
into that. Even
yeah.
if it's like, dang, I got a 79. Yeah, but I still...
If you give your best, what else can you
that's
do?
That's what I'm saying. Where else can I go from there, right? What else can I do? And even when it's like, maybe the root of that emotion isn't necessarily something that you can change. Like, I cannot change my teacher.
Right.
Right? I can't change it. That she is a very difficult grade. Like, I can't change those things.
Right.
But I can change how I approach the situation. I can change how I go to class. And I can open my mind instead of being closed-minded. Like, oh my gosh, she hates me.
Right.
Right? So I can change those. And I can rework those feelings. And that's all I really mean when I'm saying, like, sit in that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sit in that and feel that. When I'm disappointed, I have to feel that. I have to understand I am disappointed. I'm pissed off that I'm disappointed. But why am I disappointed? Like, why do I feel let down?
Mm-hmm.
What led me to the situation? Feel that shit. Feel how terrible I feel. So then the thing that led me to that situation, I'm going to act differently next time.
Right.
I'm going to change accordingly. Right? So like when we're sitting in those emotions, like in that, I feel like the relationship right there with the feeling your feelings fully,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that came from when I was younger and I just kept going through the same things over and over again.
Right.
Over and over again, experiencing the same letdowns and the same disappointments. And it's like, what's the saying? If you keep doing the same thing and expect a different result, that's insanity,
okay,
right?
Awesome.
No, but I'm saying like...
Yeah, he said it.
That's what I mean. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's when you have to just be able to like understand that
mm-hmm.
and then change it,
mm-hmm.
right? And I feel like that's where that stemmed from for me, like being younger and experiencing feelings and not knowing what to do with them.
Well, for me, I have a 24-hour rule, and anybody who's friends with me, even though I don't believe it, I know it. I'm dramatic. I am very dramatic, and I have to be dramatic first, but I'm a boss up and I'll be okay. And some of my friends still don't understand that about me. Some of my friends know me, and they'll just go along with my antics. So say, like, some shit don't go right in my life. I'm like, wow, my life is over. I'm going to die. Blah, 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 blah.
Slippery slope.
But then I know in my head, like, Julie, okay, boom, I'm able to give myself 24 hours, take myself out of the situation. And for me, I'm a writer, so it's like, what's going on? Why did this happen? How do I feel? How do I want to feel? How do I wish I felt? And then I internalize that. Mm-hmm. I say, I eat it. Mm-hmm. Put some salt on it. I'm like, okay, we're good. And I move forward. And that's the relationship that I have with my personal emotions. And that's the relationship that I have with myself. And it took me, you know, trying to figure out what works and what didn't work for me to get there. But I never want to ever, like, just ignore my feelings. Like, a lot of people mm-hmm. just ignore them. I am a suppressor. Don't get me wrong. I cannot cry. I'm emotion constipated. TMI. But, honestly, I am. And it's because of my 24-hour rule. But that works for me.
Yeah.
Of but course, listen now, because you about to play the damn devil. And the devil, he don't live here. He don't live in my heart. But I do let stuff go. Like, I do cry sometimes. I do that stuff because that is necessary in growth, in releasing of emotions. However, it depends on the person in the relationship that they have established mm-hmm. with themselves and their emotions, or with themselves and their feelings, and the mm-hmm. way that they handle their feelings.
Yeah. I feel that. I understand that. I was just gonna say, like, I feel like 24-hour rule is a good rule, mm-hmm. but I feel like it should also come with, like, a healthy mix of maybe 24 hours isn't enough to get over
whatever
happened. Make it, right?
It varies.
Maybe you need a smooth 72.
Maybe
right?
I need a whole week. I don't even know how many hours that is.
Right? Maybe you need that time. Like, but I think a healthy mix of that 24-hour rule with also, like, feeling those emotions.
That's a lot. I don't think
she
I
really
did
pulled
that
out
right.
the calculator.
I might have.
But I also think that, like, as somebody who my personal issue with emotions does vary, mm-hmm. like, sometimes it's like, okay, I'm just gonna hold it all in. I'm gonna hold everything in, and I'm not gonna let anything out. And then other times it's like, no, I need you to know that I'm sad. Okay? I need you to know that I'm gonna cry, and you're gonna feel these emotions with me because right. you caused them. Right? And I do think crying is healthy. And I feel like this is, like, now there's a certain level where it's like, no. You should not be crying 24 hours of every day.
No, you
but
should
I
not.
Do think that releasing certain emotions with tears feels good for me. Like, mm-hmm. I let it out and then I'm like, okay.
Woo!
Like, okay, it came out, because I've noticed that in times where I don't cry and I don't let it out, then I just feel sad.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like I'm hurting the whole day, and I physically am ill because of it.
Ooh,
right? And I've been, no, or like, I physically cannot express how I'm feeling, and people are like, yo, what's wrong? And next thing you know, I'm crying, and now I feel better. And they're like, does that feel better for you? And I'm like, it does. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, crying makes my head hurt. Me too! But my head be hurting, but I be feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Kind of thing. And I feel like
so
I'm...
So it's like a physical pain versus an emotional pain.
Yeah.
And which one do you think hurts worse?
Hmm.
Would you rather somebody break emotional your heart or pain. Break your ankle?
Break my ankle, because at least I know that ankle gonna be healed mm-hmm. in a certain... I know the time that's gonna heal. Where, like, heartbreak, you don't know how long it's going to take you to heal. And you don't know how that's going to scar you in the future.
Right.
Broken ankle, it can heal, right? It's
okay.
scientific. It can heal.
Okay.
It can get better. Heartbreak, it will get better, but you don't know how long it's going to take you. And you don't know how it's going to present itself in further relationships. And then further on. And then how it's going to, like, affect you, then your relationship with emotions going on, right? Going from that moment on. Like, you don't know how it's going to affect you.
Right.
Right? And yeah, so I'm an advocate for crying, and that my relationship with emotion is like, let it out,
mm-hmm.
let it out in that moment, and then think about it and then feel it, understand what's happening. Right. And then go from there.
Right.
I'm also like, I like to write out things, and I like to write out exactly how people made me feel. And in the past, I didn't let people know.
Yeah.
I have poems about people who never knew I wrote a poem
probably
about
not
them.
Even in your life anymore.
Right. Who don't understand that
how bad they hurt me
or how bad, even if it's not a hurt, like, I have a really positive poem about one of my friends that they hurt me present the poem, and they didn't even know it was about them. And I finally told them, mm-hmm. this poem was about you. And they were like, what?
Gasp.
What? Right? And, like, not saying that, like, that's necessarily a healthy way, like, feeling those emotions and not letting the person know,
mm-hmm.
but it does work for me as well. Like, getting it out,
right.
crying, writing, you know, screaming, throwing things. And releasing that and all that tension that you feel with it. But I think that also goes into, like, then what do we do after that? Mm-hmm. And how do we know how to take those emotions that we're feeling and then channel them into something, right? And grow from that situation. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like a lot of people are like, okay, feel those emotions. Yeah, girl. And then you're just like, okay, I've been crying for 12 hours now. What do I do?
Now what?
Right?
Like, recently in this situation, so I just been through a lot this past week in the department of emotions. And I've learned a lot about myself through someone that I probably shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. But Darrell will get it. If you know, you know. But like,
YK.
I just remember, like, after an emotional, toxic back and forth, my question was, now what? Like, yeah. Really, like, what do we do now?
Where do we go from here?
Okay. But like, for real, like, now what?
Now what?
I done showed my ass, you done showed your ass, now what? To my emotions. I done cried my eyes out, I done screamed, now what?
Now what?
Now what? And I feel like the now what comes from what you want to feel moving forward.
Yeah.
And you have to decide that in that portion of screaming and crying. Like, you have to decide, my now what is, I know this shit hurt and I never want to feel this again. So yeah. I'll never put myself in the position to feel that again. And sometimes that's tricky because you don't know what positions you put yourself into. Sometimes you put yourself into positions, and other times those positions are, you're placed in them. So that now what can either be conscious or unconscious. And it's like, the sucky part is you may not always be in control of the now what, but intentionally, like your intentions, you can place yourself in different situations. That doesn't guarantee that you're not going to be back there. But for me, my now what is like, I know that this hurt. I don't want to feel this hurt never again. So I'm going to not ignore no red flags when they pop up in my life. But if I happen to be strolling down in a nice man with a nice young voice, you know what I'm saying? I might be back in that position, but that's not the point. The point is, I know that that nice voice is not going to allow me to be back in this hurt. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, so the now what? Right.
Now
what's up? Like, now what are we gonna
eat at?
Like,
where we finna eat?
I'm weak, right? So what do we do with that, and how we channel that and then move from that? And I feel like I feel like my now what is like, okay, what can I do to change it also? Yeah. Or like, how can I make it so
change
that
yourself or the situation?
I feel like it's more so the situation, because I know that a lot about me is just not gonna change.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I don't mean that in like a, I just feel like a lot about me is not necessarily going to change, but if I do need to change myself in order to make it so I'm not back in that situation, then I will. But a lot of times it's like, how can I stop myself from getting put back into the situation and being placed back into this sad emotion or this bad emotion? And that's my now what for me. So my now what is me writing it out. Like, okay,
so
I'm crying.
Plan.
Yeah, you made me cry. Heard you. Bet.
Noted.
Like, and so
literally noted.
So what can I do now so that that person doesn't have that kind of energy
power over
me, right? Sometimes it is me cursing them out and showing my ass and letting you know, you're not gonna fucking hurt me like that again. And then other times, I feel like recently I talked about my emotions to a person in a very, like, I wasn't screaming, I wasn't yelling. Y'all know a bitch like to scream at motherfuckers. I ain't scream, I ain't yell. I was like, you did this, and even if you didn't intend to hurt me, you hurt me. And then it was a back and forth. Well, you did this.
And that made me feel
And like that made me feel this, right? Mm-hmm. So we're growing. And we're like expressing our emotions in a healthy way.
And part of that is on you. And then the other part is on the other person. And if the other person is not as mature emotionally as you are, you have to also be not only emotionally mature, but mature period enough to know that just because I'm expressing my emotion to this person does not mean that they have to receive it in the way that I want them to.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be okay with
You have
that.
To be prepared, like, going into that. Well, if this person does not receive it how I need them to,
that could potentially be the end of a relationship.
Yeah.
Don't I know it?
Yeah. Mm. Ooh, I felt that one. I felt that, don't I know it.
TMI.
I felt that, don't I know it. But
yeah, so
also, we're, like, with that going into the now what, right? Giving people ways, because we people listening to us, you know, we got a smooth 65 loyal listeners. If you break down our stats,
65
people who like listen to it, even if it's not on the time thing that like in the 2 weeks, they still listen to it and they still let us know, like, oh, I just listened to the new episode and my gosh, this is how I feel.
Right.
Right. Giving them some tools and some tips for if you're struggling with your own personal relationship with emotions. Right. So I just jotted down a couple of things that I think that help me or help the people around me mm-hmm. when they're dealing with their emotions, right? And some tools that you can use. And my number one, we've been talking about a lot, is writing, mm-hmm. right? Even if you're not a writer, you can still write down words of how you feel.
Right, you don't have to...
It don't have to be academic, huge poet, academic words, yeah. right? But it can be, I'm sad right now because...
XYZ.
John didn't take me out to eat after he said he was going to take me out to eat. Mm-hmm. And then you can further unpack that in your writing.
You say, fuck John.
Right? Fuck John. You can literally write down in your journal, fuck John. And then later in there, be like, but I love John. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you just writing it and getting it out on paper, getting it out somewhere that doesn't necessarily have to be a person. Because sometimes when you're just talking about it, words get lost. And yeah, you say things.
Confused.
Yeah, you yeah. confuse yourself. You say things that you don't know. But if you write it down, it's just something about being able to annotate like a written work yeah. that like we hated in school. But like...
When it's your own.
When it's your own writing, your own like, okay, I felt this, right? Mm-hmm. And how am I going to unpack that further, right? Right. You know? So my biggest tip would be writing. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips for the people?
I think another thing would also be, for me, mindfulness and meditation is really important to me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the granola. But for me, like, honestly, when I just sit down, and I'm doing it right now, y'all, I swear to God. I just sit down, and I close my eyes, and I visualize the situation. I put a picture to the emotion that I'm feeling. I breathe that in and I feel the hurt. Like, it physically hurts. If you've ever felt heartbreak, if you ever felt just broken, it hurts. And then I release that. And when I release that, I release all that hate. I release all that emotion, all that anger. And then I open my eyes and you just smile.
Hmm.
And honestly, it may only be a temporary fix, but you are going to feel a little bit better in that.
Mm-hmm. So mindfulness and meditation. Mm-hmm. I also thought like things like writing, so like music
yeah.
and painting, because sometimes we, you know, we hit it at the beginning that we forget that our favorite musicians are also human, but feeling those words through other humans saying them also hits for me. Like the song by Jamila Woods, Holy, mm-hmm. that song hits for me. The song Naked by Ella May hits whether I'm happy or sad, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I... We'll play music and just dance.
Right.
If I'm feeling anxious, if I'm feeling mad, I will play music. I will perform for imaginary people and dance and like really understand the words that I'm singing. Mm-hmm. Right. There's just, if y'all ever need any of my playlists, DM me and I got you. But I got some real good like emotional playlists. Mm-hmm. I have my like, okay, you're sad playlist with like Fucking Perfect by Pink on there and Who You Are by like Jessie J. Mm-hmm. But then I have my like, okay, you're going through this stuff, but you're still fucking awesome. School and life, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. LMA Naked or like Holy by Jamila. I said those two things, but like music.
That's how you know she likes her so much. Right?
But music really does like have a way of helping you through mm-hmm. things, even if you don't know, even if you're not a musician, you know?
Right.
But like that just segues into so music, painting, writing, also doing the things that you yeah, love.
Those things come from the heart chakra, green. Those things really do come from the heart. And so, like, when you're doing stuff that's coming from your heart, mm-hmm. you're actually healing your heart. So if you're listening to music that's healing for you, you're going to feel healed. If painting mm-hmm. is something that's a healing practice for you, you're going to feel healed. And then also, your gut, like your sacral chakra, like your gut feelings, when you feel that pain mm-hmm. and you feel that hurt, creativity mm-hmm. blossoms from your gut. From your mm-hmm. intentions, from your intuition. So, I mean...
Yeah. So, I feel like those are just a couple of, like, the tools that we use, right? And I feel like we did not hone in enough on, like, the doing things you love. But Julia just broke it down to us in, like, a chakra sense.
Oh, yeah. Onto,
as to why, right, you should do the things that you love. And I feel like we're heart. Very, like, artsy, for lack of better terms, right? We write. We listen to music. Mm-hmm. We, like... plants, and we smoke weed while drawing, like, you know, things like things like that, right? But when it comes to like other people, like athletes or like people who work out, right, if you enjoy that and if that makes you feel better,
hey,
do it.
Is that something that's coming from your heart?
If you like running, an asthmatic bitch like me,
I can't relate.
But if that's what you, if that what makes you feel better, and that's what makes you release you know, all those kind of things, then do that.
Do it.
Be that. Feel those emotions and then use those as, like, tools to then improve, right, and help you feel those emotions and then overcome certain feelings in that moment that you are experiencing, right? So with the idea of emotions and this whole episode being about relationships with emotions, that moves us into, like, our question of this episode.
Question of the episode! That was our fake ass.
Our little theme insert. Theme,
but go ahead.
Okay. But this week's question of the episode is, how do your life experiences affect your own personal relationships with emotions? And before we unpack the question for people, I'm going to repeat it. How do your personal, I added that word, life experiences affect your own relationship with emotion, right? And emotions and feeling emotions. So to help unpack that, I feel like in my experience, I've experienced a lot of trauma, right? And I feel like nowadays people be using that word a lot.
Real loose.
Real loosely, but dead ass, any of my friends, if you know, you know.
Right.
I've experienced a great deal of trauma, right? And even if I want to say that I've grown and I'm so much better and I've made it through it, it still has a direct effect on how my emotions present themselves, right? So even if you have not experienced any kind of trauma, even if your life was privileged and da-da-da, it still affects you. Like your parents, how your parents treated you growing up still affects how you deal with emotions, how they let you express your emotions, right? Because we were in class talking about, we had this debate between, it was me and my friend Noah, and we're black, and we're like, well, being coming from a black family, we just don't feel like black people express their emotions in the healthiest kind of way. And then some other black people was like, well, but I feel like it was just in like a general, there are certain things that like black people, a lot, the majority of black people say, like, it be like that sometimes.
Cause it do.
It be like that sometimes. But if you think about the implications that that statement holds and how people use that statement when like they're legitimately going through things and they're just like, instead of dealing with it, it be like that sometimes. I'm gonna just smoke this blunt and like get better, but you're not getting better, right? You're not dealing with
it.
You're just suppressing those emotions. So once again, that question is, how do your life experiences affect your own personal relationships with emotion? We're gonna let you guys unpack that, and then we're gonna answer it for you a little later in our episodes, right? Next episode, we're gonna answer that question for you. But ultimately, all in all, this brings us to the end.
The end. Once again, we'd like to say thank you for all the listeners who's been rocking with us for the entire season. We did fall off, but we're back.
Hey,
we have two more episodes till the end of our first season.
You know.
And it's crazy to think that this idea just popped up in our heads during one of our car talks. But thank y'all for being along for the ride.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all for rocking with us this far. Thank y'all for still dealing with us, even though we're going through our own BS, you know. Thank y'all for still rocking with us. And that's all I can say. Thanks. Great thanks.
You'll
you know?
Be able to say that you was among the first.
Right? In the spirit of Thanksgiving.
That believed thanks. Us. Thank you. Gratitude. Thank Much y'all. Gratitude.
But we'll see y'all next week.
Oh, say less.